before we get in the Word. Father, I thank you for this Word today and how it's ministered to me this week as I've been studying and preparing for today. And Lord, I just pray none of me and all of you, Lord, speak through me to your people today. Holy Spirit, come in this place and teach us the Word today. I pray for revelation. Lord, also know that the Holy Spirit can speak way more than I can. And so, Holy Spirit, just come and do your thing in here this morning and bring in revelation about this topic of being thankful. And so, God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for your Word and thank you for your Son in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, and I, you know me, I'm going to put it up here on the screen as well. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 1 Samuel chapter 1. I think it's important for people to still bring their Bibles to church. Amen. I'm still old school. And if you don't have a Bible, let us know and we'll get you one. But I also put it up here on the big screen as well. The title of this message is Thank You for the Biscuit. And that's going to make sense here in a little while. But we live in, I believe, guys, that we are living in the last days. Perilous times are here. You know, we have the coronavirus, the pandemic. We have our nation is divided. There's all kinds of things going on that we see on and hear on the news, and we're living in the midst of it. The economy, everything. And there's a passage of scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And as you know me, we're going to look at other scripture as well. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to go ahead and put the slide up that shares this, is it talks about the last days. And I didn't put all the you can go read it in context. I encourage you to do that. But this is the Apostle Paul, and he's talking about the last days. And this is one of the things he says. He says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. And I just highlighted, because we're talking about thankfulness since we're in the Thanksgiving season right now, was unthankful. That's going to be one of the things. We don't hear that word a lot, unthankful, but we hear it like this. We hear the word entitled. We hear the word I deserve. All right? That's unthankful people. And so, guys, I'm telling you, and I've always known the importance of being thankful and thanksgiving in your walk as a Christian, but I'm telling you, this has brought some new revelation to me that we all need to be thankful. We're living in a time that is very unthankful. And just like I've been talking about how we're living in a time that's very divided, how that can seep into your life, into your marriage, into your home, into your church family, this word unthankful can also seep into your life, into your marriage, into your home, into your church family, and we need to stop it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So look at somebody and say, thank you. And here's the deal. When you grew up, and even with our grandson, with Jarek, we're already teaching him, say thank you. It's not something that comes naturally to us. It's a learned behavior. The Apostle Paul said, I have found whatever state I'm in to be content or to be thankful. To be thankful for whatever, if I have a lot or if I don't have a lot, to be thankful. If the only thing you can get up on any given day and just say, Lord, thank you for my salvation, that's enough. Amen? Amen. That is enough. But here's the deal. I'm going to dig a little deeper into this word thankfulness this morning. And it's going to help you in your faith walk, all right? I'm going to teach you some things about faith today. And so I'm going to ask you this question right up front. Would you like to increase your capacity to receive more from the Lord? All of us would. I hope if you're living and breathing, all of us want to receive more from the Lord. We all have the same potential to receive, but listen to this, but our capacity to receive is different from person to person. And I really believe that one of the key factors from person to person is the degree to which you're thankful in life about just everything. And so thank you is two powerful spiritual words that work in this. Here's the deal, and I want you to get this. Thank you not only works in the present, but it works in the future too. When you're thankful for things that's coming down the pike that you don't even know about. All right, now I'm going to give you four truths today, if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, four truths about the power of Thanksgiving. This is not an exhaustive study about Thanksgiving. There's so many scriptures. I encourage you to go home and do a word study on Thanksgiving and thankful and thank you and all that. It's pretty powerful. But when I was studying this, what I found out was there's either unthankful or thankful. There's no middle ground. Meaning you're either thankful or you're not. There's no middle. Even if you don't say thank you, then that means you're unthankful. Is everybody getting that? All right, you got to say thank you. And so we're going to look more into this, and that's why I asked you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 1 Samuel chapter 1. And so here we're going to get four truths about the power of Thanksgiving. So here's number one. Number one, Thanksgiving empowers us to receive the victory from the Lord. We'll say that again. Thanksgiving empowers us to receive the victory from the Lord. And this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the Apostle Paul teaching about, life eternal. He's talking about our bodies are a tent, and we're going to receive a celestial body and all this. Aren't you ready for that reunion one day to go home to be with the Lord? It's going to be awesome. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 through 57 says this. It says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I want everybody to say verse 57. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." All right, everybody ready? "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thanksgiving empowers us to receive the victory from the Lord. And I'm going to say this. We don't realize how much sin affects us as believers. I had a situation happen to me here not too long ago where, have you ever gotten that point in your walk with God, you think, you know what, I'm starting to get this. You know, I not that I've arrived by no means, but I'm walking with God, I'm starting to get this. You know, I feel good about life and everything, even though I've been through a lot. But I had this situation happen where, and most of you know this that go to church here, is I had this situation happen. And it pointed out something to me, and it has nothing to do with my parents. It has nothing to do with how I was raised. It has nothing to do with environment. It has to do with this one word called sin that we all deal with. We were all born into sin, this Adamic nature. And what sin does is it shames you to the point where you feel like you can't receive anything good from God. And I thought, being the faith man that I am, that I've arrived. I don't want that to sound cocky and arrogant, but that I had gotten over that hump, all right? And I had a situation happen here recently where we bought 15 acres of land. Sold our house here in Leedy. We found 15 acres over by Foss Lake where one day we want to build our forever home, and had this 15 acres. It's in a great place. The deer feeder's set up. I got deer coming in already. They need to grow. But so hopefully my neighbor doesn't shoot them. And by the way, that's something else I had to get over. A little side trip here. I had to get over forgiveness, forgiving the person that has land next to me, because they almost put their feeder and their deer stand almost on my fence line. And Jada noticed that. We went out there one day. We were putting corn in the deer feeder, and Jada came back, and she came back down. She goes, "Mark, there's a guy right over here hunting." I said, "Where?" She goes, "Right over here. He's in a tree," and he just waved at me and told me to get out of here, you know, because he's hunting. I was like, "Well, son of a peach." He was a peach. And I was like, "Oh, Lord." And I was like, "Here I go. I'm already into land ownership," and I had to, I'm feeding the deer, and they're going jumping the fence, and he's shooting them. So, Lord, forgive me. I don't know why I went down there. So I had to learn how to walk in forgiveness too. But while I was out there on this land one day, Jada wasn't with me. I was out there, and I was thankful that we had this land. But then all of a sudden, I also had this thought of, but I don't deserve it. And I was like, that is a mixed signal, God. And I was like, where is that coming from? And the Lord was definitely letting me know, it's not coming from me. It's coming from the enemy's camp. And it has to do with this word called sin. And the enemy likes to shame people to the point where they don't feel like that you're worthy of anything from God. God valued you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for you. And here's the deal. Guys, the Word says that He wants to give you the desires of your heart. The desires of my heart has always been to own my own piece of land. It's 15 acres and it's green acres. Mr. and Mrs. Haney live there. And we got deer coming in. But God said, Mark, that's not for me, son. I know the desires of your heart. I've made showed all these dots how they connected so you could buy this piece of property. Now receive it. Don't let sin, don't let the enemy shame you in that you're not to receive good things from me. And everybody said, amen. All right, so God wants you to receive good things, and that's where thanksgiving empowers us to receive the victory from the Lord. And I found out the more that I thanked God for the land and for all those things and was thankful and all that, the less that I started hearing that voice, that shaming voice. That's how powerful thanksgiving is. All right, here's number two. Second powerful truth about thanksgiving. Thanksgiving smells good on you. Look at somebody. Smell them. Smell the person next to you. Hopefully they took a shower this morning. And I'm not talking about cologne or perfume or things that we smell in the natural. I'm talking in the spirit. Thanksgiving smells good on people. And it smells good on you. How many of you love the smell of Thanksgiving? Oh, man, I love it. I love walking in the house when Jada's baking and cooking stuff, and just like she put on a crock pot before we came to church this morning. I can't wait to get home to smell it. You know, you just walk in the house and, you know, that Sunday afternoon dinner. I love the smell of Thanksgiving. It was so funny the other day. I came into work at Moxie Realty in Elk City, and I walked in. I didn't know this, but Amy had just heated up in the microwave a whole bunch of Brussels sprouts. She's trying to eat healthy. Well, when I walked in, it smelled like Thanksgiving. And she laughed. She goes, Mark, that was Brussels sprouts. I was like, I don't care. It smells like Thanksgiving. It smells good. It smells good in here. But Thanksgiving smells good on you. Now, this is the scripture that goes with this. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance, the odor, the smell of his knowledge in every place. So when we're thankful, thanksgiving smells good on you. And here's the deal, guys. In the spirit, you either smell like life and victory or you smell like death and defeat if you're not thankful on the inside. If you're not a very thankful person walking around. And if you're a real unthankful person, I'm telling you, if you've ever been around somebody like that, you can smell it pretty quick that this person is living in death and defeat. And you know, when I walk into a room, this is the way I want to walk into a room, is I want to bring peace and comfort, and I want to bring life and victory. I want to change the freight. That's what we're supposed to do as believers, not just me, not just the pastor. Every one of us as Christians, when we walk places, you're going to go places I can't go in your circle of influence. When we go into places, we ought to change the aroma for the better. Amen. And diffusing the knowledge of God wherever we go. We had a situation happen in our home. I told Jada I was going to use this as an illustration today, where just here recently, you know, we've had this great weather, and just here recently is when, you know, before that ice storm right there that weekend is when it really got cold, and we hadn't turned on our heater yet at our house, and we're renting a place over by Foss Lake in the Sky Acres edition. So we turned the heater on, and all of a sudden it smelled like death. It's a little two-bedroom, one-bath house, and it's really small. So immediately it smelled like death through the whole house. I mean, this smell was unbelievable. I'll show you how unbelievable it was. There's Jada. She didn't know I was going to do this. I snapped this picture of Jada real quick. She was sitting in her chair over there. She was going, oh, my gosh, Mark. And at this particular time when I caught this picture of Jada, there was a guy, we had to call Four Seasons Heat and Air. My landlord said, call Four Seasons Heat and Air, see if they can figure out what's going on. So I called them, that's Chad Eaton, and Jada's like, get it off. No, I got to leave it up there for visual aid. And so the guy that was working on the outside unit, because it's all electric house, he come inside, and as soon as he walked in the door, he put his shirt up just like Jada did. He's like, my gosh, he told us, he goes, I've smelled some dead things. He goes, I think that's a snake, is what he thought it was. Well, we found out it was like four mice that had got up there in the heater and had died. And so we had to get it cleaned out and clean everything out. Now, here's the point that I'm making, and I'll get that slide changed here in just a second, babe. Is the point that I'm making is that whenever they got we got the ductwork cleaned out right where that was, that the death had happened at and everything, and then it smelled for a little bit, but then now it's definitely better, okay? But when I was studying this and I was thinking about this situation, I was like, man, I got to put that picture in. I didn't even tell her I put this picture in the, yeah, she's, I'm going to be in trouble. I may not get to eat any crock pot food today. But here's what the Lord spoke to me through this picture, that some of us in our life, in our walk by faith, I'm not just talking just our prayer life, but just in our walking by faith, we need to clean out the whining, the complaining, the bitterness of soul and misery, and everything would smell much better if we did that, if we cleaned all that out. And so, and then we wouldn't be walking around like Jada was, like that with the, all right, I'll get it off there, honey, I'm sorry. All right, Psalm 78. I encourage you to go read all of Psalm 78 today. This is the story. It's kind of a snapshot story of the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. They were God's people, but God didn't want them wandering in the wilderness. Does everybody know that story? He didn't want them wandering in the wilderness. The Bible says they could have made that trip in 11 days, but they stayed out there for 40 years. They died young. They complained. They murmured. They wanted to go back. They were unfaithful in their spirit to the Lord, is what the Word says in Psalm 78. But I want to point out a couple of scriptures in Psalm 78. It says, how often they provoked him or made him angry, God, in the wilderness, and grieved him in the desert. And that word grieve actually means being displeased. What pleases God? What does Hebrews 11 say that pleases God? Our faith. This is the one thing that they were struggling with out there in the wilderness, was with their faith. They were walking in unbelief. They weren't walking in faith. And it says, and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Yes, God is limitless, but did you know that you and I can limit God? We can limit God. If we walk around in unthankfulness, we can limit God. And I don't want to limit God. How about you? All right? So, that's number two, guys. Number two is Thanksgiving smells good on you. It didn't smell good out there in the wilderness, and they wandered around for 40 years. So, if you feel like you've been in the wilderness in your life, maybe you need to do a checkup and say, you know what, maybe I need to start being more thankful for what I have and not what I don't have. And then you can start seeing things change. All right, here's number three. Number three, faith says thank you before, not just after. We're all the time teach our kids, you know, to say thank you after you give them something. But in the spirit, by faith, we need to learn how to start saying thank you by faith before anything ever happens. And everybody said, all right, and this is scripture. Psalms 100 verse 4 says that we are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Now, I want to show you something that I have never seen. I've read this 100 times or maybe more, usually right around Easter. And it's the story of Lazarus, where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And I had just read over this a lot, and this is what it says. It says, then he took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, talking about Lazarus, and it says, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. That's the first thing he did, was thank his Father. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. Thanksgiving precedes miracles. Amen? In your life. If you're thankful, you're going to start seeing miracles. You're going to start seeing dead things come to life if you walk in thanksgiving. And everybody said, all right, we got to walk by faith and not by sight. 1 John 5 verses 4 through 5 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're an overcomer, and you do that by faith. Now, here's where the story comes in about thank you for the biscuit. I read a story this week that gave me the inspiration for this message today. Is I heard this story about a pastor. He actually wrote a book called Thank You for the Biscuits. I ordered this book. I can't wait to get it and read it. But he's a Georgia pastor, grew up in a big family down south. And he said, when I grew up, we were very poor. And he said, during the week, you know, my mom cooked meals. She said, we basically, with bread, we ate cornmeal is what we had. But he said, but on Sundays, they were Christian, raised in a Christian home. He said, but on Sundays, mom would save the flour for Sunday dinner and said she would cook homemade biscuits. How many of you ever had homemade biscuits? I'm starting to get people into the message now. I can see the lights turning on. Talking about biscuits. It's getting almost lunchtime. And he said that, and of course he had a lot of older brothers. He was one of the, he was the runt of the family. And he said, so, you know, he goes, I'd get beat up over biscuits. You know, my brothers would beat me up. And so his mom started something in their family that when it got down to the last biscuit, that who, whatever son, whatever person in the family sitting at the table, before they ever touched the biscuit, whoever said thank you for the biscuit first got the last biscuit. And so he wrote this whole book based on this inspiration that he said, my mom taught me how to say thank you before something ever happened and how to, before it ever manifested, to give thanks for something. And he goes, I took that into my walk with God and my faith walk, and it has produced a lot of results, is learning how to be thankful before something ever happens. And I thought that was really good. So there you go. Thank you for the biscuit. You may not remember anything about this message today, but you're going to go home and talk about biscuits, I promise. All right? So you can post right now, tweet that one, thank you for the biscuit. All right, here, and this is the deal. What we have to remember, and it reminded me of this scripture when I heard this story, Psalms 23, verse 5, God says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So when you're sitting at a table in there in life, all you got to do is be thankful, and God's going to provide everything that you need. Amen? Some of us do much whining and complaining while we're sitting at the table. Some of us do a lot of shouting and stuff at the devil. And God's saying, I just want you to pull up to the table and just be thankful and watch me manifest my goodness right in front of the enemy. And everybody said, amen. All right, is everybody learning something today? All right, here's number four. Last one, number four. A thankful person never feels sorry for themselves. This is where the punch is going to happen today, all right, for all of us. How many of you ever felt sorry for yourself? Anybody ever had a pity party? Oh, yeah, I've had plenty of them, all right? But here's the deal. Don't stay there very long. Don't camp out there. I'm not going to say that you're not going to have a bad day. Just don't camp there. Don't stay there for months or years. Make sure that you're there. It's quick that I get over this pity party and start saying, even if you're just like, God, the only thing I know to be thankful for is my salvation. That's enough. Just start thanking him, and you'll start seeing your mood change. We've all been there, had the pity parties and stuff. I'm not going to read this whole story, but I encourage you to read it later today, and it's the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, where she is, her desire was, and you can put this, apply this to anything, her desire was that she wanted to get pregnant. All right, she wanted, but she couldn't. She was barren. She couldn't get pregnant. And so she is wanting something that she desired tremendously. She's wanting something that she can't have at this point. And when you read this story, you find out that this has been going on for a long time, for years. And it has so consumed her of what she don't have, and you can use this for anything in life, it has so consumed her of what she don't have that she is making life miserable for everybody around her. All she does is cry all the time. She cries all the time. She does, and you can apply this. I know I'm talking about Hannah this morning, but you can apply this to guys too. All right. She is just whining, complaining, murmuring. Even there's one, and I'm going to just paraphrase this for you. Okay, this is the Mark Haney paraphrase. There's one time where her husband Elkanah, I think that's how you say his name. He was like, man, he was trying everything. The Bible says he gave her a double portion, meaning he was trying to buy her happiness. Honey, here's a bunch of money. You know, go on a shopping spree. You know, here, I'll take you out to eat. I'm paraphrasing this, all right? paraphrasing. You need to go home and read 1 Samuel chapter 1. And it finally breaks it down to where Elkanah goes, "Honey, you got me. You got me." And then she just goes, cries even more, all right? So it's just total cry fest around this house. It is total misery. I'm trying to get you into this story. Everybody getting there? It's not a fun house to be in, all right? It's that it doesn't smell good at this house. It smells bad. It smells like death and defeat all the time. Elkanah's just trying to, he's trying to fix it like us husbands do. Mr. Fix It, we're trying to fix this thing. Can't fix it. Bible talks about that Hannah is constantly going to the synagogue or to the temple to pray. But a lot of her prayers, and this is what we got to watch for, a thankful person never feels sorry for themselves. That's what a lot of her prayer was, feeling sorry for herself, crying, whining, complaining, all this. Now, I'm going to pick up this story, and we'll read a couple of scriptures here in just a second on the screen. But I'm going to add a few here this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I'm just going to read them to you. It says, "Now Hannah," this is verse 13, it says, "Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk." All right? The priest was Eli. Thought she was drunk. Thought she'd been drinking. Thought she'd been drinking wild turkey. All right? It's Thanksgiving, all right? Don't ask me how I know about wild turkey. That's BC day stuff, right? Verse 14. "So Eli said to her, 'How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you.' But Hannah answered and said, 'No, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit.'" There it is. That's not a thankful person, is it? No. She says, "No, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit." The reason why she's like that is because there's something she can't have. That's why she's acting this way. She goes, "I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint," look what's coming out of her heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. "Out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now." So I want you to get into understanding, that's what her prayer life was like. Do you think that sounded good to God? You know, oh my gosh, here's Hannah again. My gosh, she just whines and complains all the time. My gosh. All right, verse 17 says this. I love, and this is the one I'm going to put up on the screen for you. Verse 17 says, "Then Eli, the priest, answered and said, 'Go in peace.'" And I love how the New King James Version says it. "Go in peace." And I'm going to give you the redneck language of that. That's basically shut up. All right? That's the best way I can put it. Shut up. "And then and then he said, the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." And now here's Hannah, because the priest spoke that, Hannah took that hook, line, and sinker, and she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Something switched in Hannah that day when the priest spoke that to her. "Go in peace, and the Lord God grants your petition which you have asked of him." Immediately, what switched was she became thankful in her spirit. I've got a word from God that I'm hanging on to. And she let her maidservant, she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. I did a whole Mother's Day message on this years ago, and I entitled it "No More Sad." Sometimes you just need to look at yourself in the mirror and say, "No more sad. No more sad." You know, I've had my pity party for today. No more sad. No more sad. I'm going to be a thankful person. I'm thankful for my salvation. And you're going to have to learn how to examine yourself when those times come and say, a thankful person never feels sorry for themselves. And everybody said, don't feel sorry for yourself. If you have your spouse with you and they're here today, make sure that you can tell each other that in love, you know, don't, honey, you got me, you know. No, be a little bit more compassionate than that. All right, 1 Samuel, so that's 1 Samuel 1. And you go on, and there's a whole lot of scriptures, and I think we're going to be on this for a little while, guys, about this power of Thanksgiving since we're in the month of Thanksgiving, bringing some messages about this, because this is a powerful thing that we add to our faith walk that produces results, and a powerful thing that we add to our prayer life that produces results. In Matthew 8, it talks about how the Roman centurion went to Jesus. I won't turn there, but just a few more stories for you. The Roman centurion, he said, "No, I'm not worthy for you to come underneath my house. you know, just speak the word. And Jesus said, man, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And he said, go your way. Go your way. Well, that Roman centurion went back home being thankful that he'd ran into the Lord and the Lord had spoken that word to him. Another story is in Luke chapter 17 about the 10 lepers. Jesus told them to go your way, and one was the one that came back and thanked the Lord, and he received the total victory. The Bible says he was whole, meaning he received not only his healing, but he was spiritually saved as well. Now, here's my main point for today, my sermon in a sentence. My main idea is this, and if you can post, tweet this, guys. I saw, who was it, Jonna on Twitter the other day had posted something last Sunday. I love seeing that people are listening. Sometimes I look over here at our youth, and I wonder, are they getting anything, you know? Or are they just thinking about biscuits right now, you know? No, they're really listening. That blessed me when I saw Jonna tweet that. But here's the sermon in a sentence. Be thankful. Look at somebody and say, be thankful. Look at somebody on the other side and say, be thankful, if you got somebody. And here's the point, guys. God is helping you much more than you know. He's doing things behind the scenes that you have no idea that he's doing. He's lining up different things, scenarios, to bless you and to give you the desires of your heart because he loves you. And everybody said, all right, here's today's takeaways. Number one, Thanksgiving empowers us to receive the victory from the Lord. Number two, Thanksgiving smells good on you. Not only does Thanksgiving smell good, but it smells good on you too, spiritually. Number three, faith says thank you before, not just after. And number four, a thankful person never feels sorry for themselves. And be thankful God is helping you much more than you know. Did everybody learn something today? All right, now here's my thank you for the biscuit. And happy Thanksgiving. But here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give us all a little homework, a little takeaway today that we're going to do. Is I want you to either text someone, a card, an email, however the Lord leads you to do it, but to somebody in your life that you need to give a heartfelt thank you to. Could be somebody from your childhood, just let the Lord lead you who it is. You may not know who it is today, but sometime this week, if you'll honestly give this some heartfelt thought, heartfelt prayer as well, and say, Lord, show me who I need to say thank you to, and watch how God works, okay? But don't rush into it, is what I'm trying to say. Give it some thought, give it some prayer. Could be a teacher, could be a coach, could be a parent, could be somebody that sowed a seed into you long ago. You know, I've always told you the story, and I finally reached out to him years ago on Facebook. His name was Derek Gregory that I went to college with at OU, and he was on my floor in my dorm, and this young man, you know, in his late teens at that time, he was studying to be an engineer at OU. He was leading a Bible study let's just look back and see how God lined things up, but he was leading a Bible study on our dorm floor. And he would always come by, and I can't remember what night it was on, but he always come by and knock on our door and invite me to the Bible study. And there were sometimes I couldn't go, and there were sometimes I went, and I was always blessed. And I remember sitting there listening to him teach at that age, going, this cat's got it all together at this age, and I don't. That's what I remember being in there, you know, and he was always, it was a good conviction. I wouldn't say it was a bad, it was a good conviction. And this guy just inspired me every time I was around him. He smelled good, by the way. He smelled like life and victory every time I got around him. And I finally reached out to him here years ago, and I guarantee he's probably, Mark Haney is a pastor. Yeah. Because he saw some things on the dorm floor that I can't share. Here today, you know, back in the BC days. And it was a blessing that I reached out to him and told him thanks for witnessing to me that it finally took root. And so what I'm trying to tell you with that story is to find, just really give it some thought. And whoever it is, I can see somebody got the wheels turning. Somebody may already know who it is, but do that. And maybe you need to go to them in person and tell them thank you if you can do that. Do it that way as well. just let the Lord lead you, all right? And I want to hear about some of them. Text me and tell me how it all went or whatever, all right? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for this word today. And God, I just thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. God, we thank you for our salvation today. There's so many things that we can be thankful for. And Lord, I know that I never take this for granted. Every Sunday, the people that are here and those that are watching online, listening on the radio, just want to make sure that everybody knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the Bible makes it very clear on how to do that. It just says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer today. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen, amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up in here. I'm going to speak a blessing over you. Jada, will you come up here and join me, please? We're going to speak a blessing over you. Look at somebody and say, thank you for the biscuit. All right. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, thank you for the biscuit. Y'all have a blessed week.